He picked up his face mask and tank and donned them. Then he hit the decompression button so the tanks would recontain the breathe gas without waste. There was a momentary vacuum, a trifle uncomfortable on the hearing bones, and then with a sigh, the outside air entered the cab. Turl swung open the top hatch and stood up on the seat, the tank creaking and shuddering under his repositioned weight. The wind felt cool outside the borders of his face mask. He gazed around with some distaste. This sure was wide, wide, wide country. And empty, empty, empty. The only sound was the whisper of wind in the grass and the sound of silence, vast silence. Even a far-off bird call made the silence heavier. Things were tan and green. The earth was tan and brown. The grass and occasional shrubs were green. The sky was an expansive blue, specked with white puffs of clouds. Sure, a strange country. People on home planet wouldn't believe it. Not for a minute. No lovely purple anywhere. With a sudden inspiration, Turl reached down into the car and grabbed the picto recorder. He aimed it in a sweeping circle, letting it grind away. He'd send his folks a spool of this. Then they'd believe him when he said it was one horns awful of a planet, and maybe sympathize with him.
My daily view,
he said into the recorder as he finished the sweep. The words rumbled through his mask, sounding sad.
Hey,
there was something purple. Straight west, there were some mountains, and they looked purple. He put the picto recorder down and grinned at the mountains so far away. This was better than he thought. No wonder men lived up in the mountains. They were purple. Maybe the men were a bit sentient after all. He hoped so, but not with any great confidence.
He was probably being optimistic.
But it gave some substance to his nebulous plans. Still looking westward, he suddenly caught sight of a landscape feature between himself and the mountains. A distant skyline silhouetted against the declining sun. He shifted a lever on his face mask glass to get magnification. The skyline leaped closer. Yes, he was right. There was a ruined city. Fuzzy and broken, but the building still very tall and quite extensive. The wind fluttered his mind map as he looked at it. The ancient highway ran straight west into it. Reaching down, he took a massive tome off the pile he had on the rear crew seat and opened it to a marked place. There was an insert drawing on the page. Some cultural artist had sketched it a few centuries ago. The company had used air-breathing chinkos for cultural posts on planets where there was air. The chinkos had come from Galaxy 2, beings as tall as cyclos, but thread-thin and delicate.
They were an old, old, old race,
and the cyclos didn't like to admit they had learned what they knew of cultural arts from them. But they had been easy to transport, despite breathing air and being feather-light.
And they had been cheap, cheap, cheap.
Alas, they were no more. Not even in Galaxy 2, having initiated a strike of all things. Intergalactic had wiped them out. But that was long after the culture and ethnology department had been terminated on Earth. Turl had never seen a chinko.
Kind of remarkable.
Drawing pictures like this. Colorful, too. Why would anybody draw something